You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for making us part of your regular routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, even post-game, even after a just brutal, brutal loss to the Orlando Magic at home, which never happens, but it did. The Celtics lose 93-90. Just, oh, God. We're going to talk about it because we have to, not because we want to. We're the Raining Jays, John Corrales, and as you could tell by the background noise, Samuel Jamison Packard III at the Garden with a bunch of people shooting around behind him.
Yeah, apparently some sort of company is here and they're having a blast. Not me. I'm up here listening to Coldplay, trying to kind of... One part of my brain is like, this was an atrocious loss. You do not lose to the Orlando Magic. You do not come out flat if you want to be one of the best teams in the league. And then the other half of my brain is like, calm down, buddy. It's only the fourth game of the season. The team's going to get better. They're not always going to shoot 9 from 40 from 3. But just not a good game whatsoever. You just can't lose to the Magic. I know the threes are eventually going to drop, but the effort was not there early, and then they were just playing catch-up the rest of the game. I don't think the offense was great. I don't think the defense was particularly good, even though they held the Magic to only 93 points. But all around, it was just a bad game from pretty much everyone except for Kyrie Irving in the second half, where he was actually looked like old Kyrie. Other than that, I don't think there's many positives.
Well, okay. I think there might be a couple, but not many. There are not many. So let's run down some quick numbers first before we get to the rest of the post-game reaction. Overall, the Celtics shot less than 41%. It's funny, a quirk that I tweeted out, and I know a lot of things are close in a 3-point game, but usually there's some kind of weird it came down to one more made 3-pointer. The numbers are stark, like they're very, very similar. The Celtics shot less than 41%. They were 37 of 91. The Magic shot less than 41%. They were 38 of 93. They each hit an equal amount of twos. They each hit 28 two-point shots. They each hit 7 free throws. It's just that Orlando was 10 of 35 from three and that the Celtics were 9 of 40 from three. Horrible numbers all around. Just disgusting basketball all around. A distinct lack of free throws, which was part of the problem in this game. The Celtics refused to drive late in the game in the fourth quarter when they had Orlando in the penalty, and they just didn't take advantage of that. And I know that it's hard as a coach. You kind of want to tell your guys to not change their offense to do anything in particular in that situation. But the shots aren't falling. You gotta get to the free throw line, if for nothing else, to calm yourself down, get a couple of shots to fall through the hoop, nice, calm, easy free throws, and then once you hit a few free throws, then you can get back to shooting threes. So just weird, weird lack of shooting. The Celtics have just not shot well so far this season. The only person, two people shot well today, really. Kyrie Irving, who was 10 of 19 overall, and that was thanks in part to a big third quarter where he shot 5 of 7, and Gordon Hayward did not shoot a ton, but when he did, he made a lot. He was 4 of 8. He was 3 of 5 from three. He's the only guy that was hitting. That's about it. Al Horford was cold, 5 of 13. Jason Tatum, 3 of 12. Everyone else was kind of, eh. I don't know.
And Brad Stevens just came out in his post game and said that was the best offensively they played the entire season. So now I don't know what to believe. I mean, I think in the first quarter, they really had some struggles and there was some lackadaisical effort. But in the last three quarters, it came down to missing just a lot of open shots. Jason Tatum missed two wide open threes in a row. Al Horford missed pretty much, it felt like, every outside shot he took.
There were a lot of misses. I don't want to boil this down to they just missed shots. But look, the first note I wrote down in my notebook today, better ball movement but misses early. And Hayward looked good early. They basically came out, and I thought they were moving the ball better early on. And then I think because of the misses, they got discouraged. And then Orlando was running off of the misses, and the Celtics weren't getting back in transition. And that set the tone. The Celtics, it seemed like they got discouraged, frustrated by the fact that they couldn't hit any shots. And then they let Orlando just start get going in transition. And the Celtics' transition defense was terrible early on anyway. But there were some instances of good ball movement. There were a lot of shots that I didn't think were particularly bad shots. I mean, let me ask you, how many times did you look at a shot that was taken and say, "Ugh, I wish they didn't take that shot"? Maybe a handful.
Very few. I'm remembering some plays right now. There's some cool dribble handoffs where Jaylen Brown ended up with a nice three-point look. I think they did a better job of getting the ball into the paint. It's just, you mentioned the free throw disparity. The Celtics were in the bonus for like the final 9 minutes of the fourth quarter, only shot four free throws. They're pretty much just Daniel Tice rebounding free throws. And I think it's part of a matchup issue. Like the Magic, this is something Brad mentioned pregame, are super long with Mo Bamba, Vucevic, who was unstoppable in the first half, and Jonathan Isaac, I think, had his best game as a professional basketball player tonight. So it's kind of harder to get into the paint when you're playing a team like that. And it's not like they didn't try. Kyrie, I think, was 7 of 9 in the paint during this game. It just seemed like everyone other than Kyrie, if they got into the paint, they were looking to pass. They weren't looking to go to the rim. So the foul shot thing is something that they're going to have to work on. But you're right. I mean, there weren't that many. Like the long twos, Tatum had one early on that he airballed that was like particularly egregious. But beyond that, it wasn't too bad. I do think they generated some good looks. It's just they didn't knock any of them down. Kyrie maybe forced a three here or there, but Kyrie also just missed some wide open threes, and Tatum missed some wide open threes, and Horford missed some wide open threes. And so I think the offense is gonna get there. It's just, it's the Magic, you know?
Yeah, right. I know.
It's the Magic.
I get it. Look, first of all, the Magic are still not good. They're still not good, but they're not as bad. They're not last year's Magic. They're better. So we got to say that these guys are capable. Like they've had close games in so far in the early part of the season. So I'm not saying like this is a game the Celtics, it's not an excusable loss. I'm just saying that the Magic are a little bit better than we remember them last year. Still not an excuse. They should have won this game. They had opportunities to win this game. I did see a lot of these, like I said, makeable shots. Al Horford was 1 of 7 from three. I think all 7 of those were shots I would absolutely give Al Horford 7 more times. If they ran out there and played another game right now, I'd give Al Horford all 7 of those shots. Tatum, I think, like you said, most of those shots were good. I saw Jaylen Brown press a little bit and force a shot. They had gotten the rebound. It was late in the game, the third quarter, that Tice had gotten the rebound. It got to Jaylen. He didn't see, I'm going to give him a benefit of the doubt, he didn't see Jason Tatum wide open. But then I think he just was desperately looking for his offense, and he missed Kyrie open. I forget if that was the third or the fourth quarter, all blends together.
Jaylen does not look comfortable in the offense so far. He did hit that weird corner three, one of the few threes they did make where he's basically contested. but he does not like he look like he's gotten in the flow of the offense and doesn't look. He's not one who's going to create his own shot off the dribble. Like Marcus Smart is more of a kind of a weapon right now than Jaylen Brown is. And Marcus, like, has no problem driving in the lane and taking an absurd fadeaway. Whereas Jaylen, that's just not part of his game. But he looks to be the one who's having the most trouble, adjusting to this offense. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't great offense. I mean, the shots were there. It's just, to get out to a flat start and then kind of play comeback the entire time and never really get, be able to cut it to five. I think was thing. It's not great. And I think the fact that they weren't able to get the key stops, and like win this game on their defense alone. I know they were able to hold the Magic to 93 points. And what did the Magic shoot? Only 40% from the field, but it felt like in key moments, the Magic were able to break down their defense just by driving and switching and getting kind of looks on the weak side. And so I know the numbers look better, or just 40% and 93 points are all right, but the 28 points in, the first quarter, 27 points in the third quarter, it just felt like there randomly there was DJ Augustine when the Magic needed him, or there was Jonathan Simmons. And so I think you can take the kind of the Patriots mentality of, maybe an early loss will be what this team needs to kind of whip themselves back into shape and realize that it's not that hard. But I don't know. It was quite frustrating. I think the fact that Kyrie Irving was back and actually ended up with 22 points, most of those in the second half, is something they can build upon. I think Hayward, you're right, had some moments, and the fact he was knocked down three of his threes. But the BWA didn't do much. Brad really rode them in the second quarter, and that didn't really amount to anything. Rozier had 5 points, 1 of 5 from three. Smart, 1 of 4 from three. And it was just a frustrating game all around. I don't know. I'm flustered up here with the Coldplay music still playing and the bad basketball I just had to watch.
I really feel bad that you have to listen to Coldplay. That should not be inflicted upon anybody. Sorry, Coldplay fans. Just not a fan. There are more positives, I think, than we might originally think. Look, the Celtics held the Magic to 18 points in the fourth quarter. And you look at the play-by-play. So Orlando scored 93. They take off two because the Celtics had to intentionally foul. So the Celtics had to give them 2 points. And so we'll bring that down to 91. They scored 5 points over the last four minutes of the game, minus the intentional foul shots. So the Celtics did a lot to get themselves back in the game. It was 86-80. Actually, it was 86-79. So the Celtics got it to 91-90. They just could never get past over that hump. And they had, I think one of the most indicative things in this game was Jason Tatum having a wide, wide, wide open three. And when did that happen? Fourth quarter? I wrote it down. Third quarter. Wide open three. Kyrie Irving goes up in the middle of the lane, catches it, tips it back out to Jason Tatum. Wide, wide open. No one within 5 feet of him. He missed both. That's, to me, is the most indicative thing of tonight. There were some bad turnovers. There were some defensive breakdowns. I don't think tonight was all about just playing poorly. It was about shooting really, really poorly. And that's a concern because they haven't shot particularly well yet. And this is supposed to be a pretty good shooting team. But I can go Doc Rivers on you and say it's a make-miss league. A couple of those shots fall, and we're having a different conversation right now. But they didn't fall, and they haven't been falling. And I think that's the biggest concern right now.
Yeah. Hopefully the shots will go in. Let's focus on something more fun. The Time Lord.
Yeah.
finally got some minutes. Robert Williams. 4 minutes tonight. He almost had a block. He had one very good defensive possession against Vucevic. How do you say his name?
Vucevic.
But that was about it. What did you think of his performance?
not much to it, really. I mean, he did have a nice little defensive stand immediately. But, you know, 4 minutes of real NBA action, not much to show for it. I really, other than him coming in and getting to make Time Lord references and me putting the beginning of a Pink Floyd song over his intro for Twitter, I think that was about the high point, was him checking in. But I think, look, tonight, third game in four nights, they weren't going to tax everybody. Maybe Brad Stevens could have done things differently with his substitutions. This game, if they played it again in January, it doesn't go the same way. When Gordon Hayward's not on a minutes restriction and different things are happening, it doesn't go the same way. Robert Williams doesn't get into that game.
So. Do you think Brad played 11 guys? He played 11 guys in the first half. We saw an all-bench lineup. We saw an all-bench lineup with Semi checking in. Do you think that was a product of three games and four nights, or that was a product of the first unit really doesn't have it? I mean, it's probably a combination of both.
Probably a little bit of both, but I think the third game in four nights was a definite – I think it was a definite byproduct of that. I mean, look, they managed to keep everybody into the low to mid-30 range. They really could have easily given Horford a little bit more time. Again, Hayward, they held him right to 25 minutes. They could have done a little bit more. Rozier only got 15 minutes. That's kind of wild for him. They could have played him a little bit more.
Sorry for interrupting, but here's a random thought I had during the game. And maybe this was just me, I guess, trying to justify the cold shooting. But do you think, like, the fact that they have so many guys, it makes it harder for players to get in a rhythm? Because they are kind of substituting players in and out frequently. And I noticed, like, a certain point in the game when Terry did come out, that it's just like, oh, he basically just got in. Is it harder for players to kind of, like, shoot through, I guess, problems when there's so many guys with talent that if they don't have it, they're going to be out in, like, 3 or 4 minutes?
Well, for a guy like Terry Rozier, for sure, because there's – That's been documented, and I think we're seeing this season kind of be a continuation of what we saw at the end of last season, that Rozier is going to struggle a little bit with his shot, and he's not very efficient in general, and unless he's getting 30 minutes, he's going to have some struggles out there, and he did. He needs time, and some guys do need time. I think that there are players who, if they're struggling early, they just need to keep shooting so they can break out of it. Kyrie Irving is a great example, and he did, and he eventually broke out of it. Some guys can come off the bench and hit right away, and that's just going to be in their DNA. They don't care. They don't need time to warm up. Some guys do. It's different for different players. Terry Rozier is one of those guys who definitely needs to get into the flow of the game. It's very hard for him to come out and start hitting right away. So that is a concern of mine if he's going to be continuing to get 15 minutes. The other thing I saw out of Terry Rozier is that he still is not really seeing the floor as well as we'd like him to. And if I'm a team that's looking at Rozier as a potential solution at point guard, I want to see him see the floor better. I think he missed a couple of opportunities to hit guys with passes that he just ended up dribbling the ball out, taking a shot himself. That's something that he definitely needs to work on. And if he's going to stay on the floor in those situations and be productive, he needs to do something better than one assist. He needs to go out there and find guys when those situations present themselves. The whole point is to work the ball around and get open shots and spring guys for open shots. If Rozier isn't going to find them, then that's a problem. And I'm not going to say that he missed like 10 passes. He missed like one or two, but in a 3-point game, that's one of the things that I saw that could have helped.
Yeah. And looking at the assist numbers right now, the bench only had 2 assists. Rozier had 1 and Tice had 1. And then the rest of the assists came from Kyrie at 5, Tatum 4, Horford 4, Brown and Hayward 3. But, I think the bench really didn't, like, this is where we've been talking about the depth for the entire year. But, other than Daniel Tice, I don't think, and a few moments where Mook taking the ball to the rim, the bench really didn't have do anything stellar tonight. You mentioned Rozier's struggles. I didn't think Marcus Smart was particularly good, even though he, I guess, was 50% from the field. He didn't really add much to the offense. He missed a couple of alley-oop attempts, even though, and this was the game where the Celtics had the most successful alley-oops they've ever done. Like, I think they had two, maybe even three. The bench was not great, other than Daniel Theis, who I thought was a ball of energy, like a comet going into the sun, exploding. I thought he was actually very good in playing in Aron Baynes' absence. He was basically was the reason the Celtics were in the bonus in the fourth quarter, entirely just trying to create energy on the offensive end, drawing some fouls that way. He had some nice passes. I thought it was like good to see Theis play so well, and he's going to be big if Baynes is going to miss some extended time. But beyond that, the BWA had little to no A at all, and I think that was a problem.
That would be a problem, because the A is the biggest part of that.
The A is probably the most important part, and then the B, and then the W.
Yes, yeah. The W seems to, like, who knows? Maybe the W shows up some games, but I think it's mostly the A that we're looking for out of the B. So,
I got ridiculous real quickly.
Really did. And I didn't even have anything to drink tonight. So,
and I gave that guy directions, because that's the kind of guy I am. This
even though I didn't know where I was going. Oh, man. So, I will say the one thing I noticed with the passing is that I noticed a lot of passes were just thrown too hard. And I've seen it, and thanks to all the people in the back who are agreeing with me, cheering as I make my point. A lot of these passes were made too hard. Like, Daniel Theis had a pass to Gordon Hayward on a pick and roll. It was in the second quarter, I want to say, where he had Gordon Hayward cutting to the basket all alone, and he threw a bounce pass that almost went through the stanchion, which is ridiculous. And then there was a play late in the game where Kyrie had to, like, dive to save a ball, and then he whipped it to Tatum, who had to, like, reach to save. It wasn't on point.
There was one way too wild hard possession where they were just throwing the ball all over the place and diving in, and it resulted in just like a clank three. I don't remember exactly what you're talking about.
I think that's the possession that I'm talking about. I forget exactly which one. But yeah, like, instead of crisp passes, like chest passes or that you catch and just release, those guys were like diving to save the ball and then throwing the ball insanely hard, and another guy was diving to save the ball. It was like, I don't know if that what that is that frustration, if that's just not really being on the same page, still finding their chemistry, whatever, or that Orlando was bothering them. I got to go back and watch that again. But the passing is still not great. And I'll go back to what Brad Stevens said in that video from practice like a week ago. Good shooting teams are good passing teams, meaning when you pass the ball well and you move the ball side to side, paint touches, all that stuff, and you get the defense moving, when you get a pass right in your pocket and you can shoot, you're much more likely to make that shot. And if the Celtics aren't passing well, yeah, it's no shit they're not going to shoot well. They need to get a lot of these things together.
One of Brad Stevens' I think go-to stats and something I always look for when I'm looking at the box score is how many of the field goals were assisted. And tonight the Celtics did not have a great ratio. 37 made field goals, but only on 21 assists. And that kind of indicates one of the kind of, it's not perfect metric, but it's one of the metrics I look to see, like how well they're moving the ball and how many of their baskets come directly from basically ball movement. And tonight it just, despite all their open looks, and despite Brad Stevens, saying it was the best offense they've played all game, which now the more I think about it, I feel like he's playing Jedi mind tricks, because that was just not – maybe this. They well, to be honest, they haven't played great offense. It's only been four games. But I thought Al Horford's response to that was hilarious. He was asked about it, and he just said, no.
Well, Yeah, I'm going to say there is a little bit of perspective there. Like the Celtics offense has not looked good at all this season. So to say that's the best, it's like the best of four bad performances. But I will, like I said before, I do think the ball movement was better. So better. It's still a long way to go. The guys after the game, just reading these quotes as we're podcasting, saying the same thing, that they have a lot of work to do. And I've said this on the podcast before, but I really do feel like our attitudes were flipped. Like last season, we came into the season saying, all right, it's going to take some time. Everybody prepare yourselves for this to take time. Right? Remember like a year ago before the Hayward injury, we were sitting there saying, there are a lot of pieces to integrate, and everybody was talking about how slow it was going to be, and it wasn't going to come together right away. And then this year, we all got so excited that we're adding Kyrie and Hayward that we kind of forgot. Like last year when they were adding Kyrie and Hayward, it was going to go slow and it was going to take time. And for some reason this year, it was going to all come together at the same time. I think some of this, like the team is not performing up to expectations. Some of this feeling, like one of the questions that we got on the Rain and Jays hashtag at Micah_Angelou, Micah Malloy. So do we panic now about the C's or wait until after the World Series? Like that's the feeling that people have right now. That's like, what the hell is going on? I expected them to be different and we all expected them to be different. But whose fault is that? Is it us for expecting too much? Or them for not living up? I think there's a little bit of in between. Yeah, the Celtics should be better. Maybe we were expecting them to be too good too fast.
Yeah, no, the expectations, that was like one of the big things going into the season. Is like, well, how do the Celtics react to expectations? How do Celtics fans react to expectations? If they're really Kaizen warriors and are really our growth mindset, you can't get too high and can't get too low. And you're right. It's a wildly different perspective from last year because of how much success the team had without Hayward and Kyrie and how good Tatum and Brown were, that everyone kind of went into this season predicting 60-plus wins. And so, I mean, Justin Edwards, one of our best Australian fans, tweets at us, reminds us that the C's started 2-2 last year, so they could still rip off the 16-point win or 16-game winning streak right now. But you're right. I think expectations, there's a lot riding high on, and fans expect, especially when playing a team like the Magic, that the Celtics should just walk all over them. But you know what? They still have to work, together to get this in, and like figure out how to play together. So, they're not always going to shoot 9 for 40 from three. And so, I don't know. I've re-talked myself back into, it's a make or miss league. I think they're going to be fine. Just
they'll be fine.
We can't panic. Yeah.
It sucks right now. It sucks. And they definitely are not that great right now. But I still feel like they'll be okay. Like you said, to sit there and expect, like Jason Tatum shooting 3 of 12 is a complete aberration. Al Horford 1 of 7 from three is a complete aberration. So, and they still managed to score 90 points and they still held a team to 93 and they have a long way to go, but they still did some decent things tonight. Before we get to the tweets, before we get to the junk drawer, I want to talk about the new Locked On NBA Net Twitter account. If you're an NBA fan, if you want tweets that just one Twitter account that covers the entire league, it's basically a Twitter list of all Locked On hosts across the network. So me, Jam, Jay, we're all on there, but so are the hosts from all the other Locked On podcasts. Phil Brossman-Reich from Locked On Magic is on there, so you want to get reactions in real time from Locked On podcast hosts. Go check it out. We've created this one big, awesome feed with all of our local, Locked On local experts. Every team covered, every local angle covered. So go follow at Locked On NBA Net right now to get the ultimate NBA Twitter. You guys are the ultimate Celtics fans, and you all hit us up with the hashtag Rain and Jays. And we just like to look at them cold. I don't know what's coming up. I just like to scroll down and read and see what we're talking about, see what people got to say. So let's go with at CJ_3750. Tatum shot at the end of the fourth quarter last night gets him invited into Little Mountain's teepee. Now, okay, see, I got to do a better job of screening these because that's clearly a rain and junk. That's clearly a rain and junk question.
That's clearly about the Knicks game.
Yeah. Next week when I'm not working a full-time job ahead of these, I will be better at screening. Marcus Morris, this is from Addie Shep, longtime listener. Morris might even finish before T-Row and Smart in the six-man vote. Marcus Morris had he was actually pretty good early on. He didn't have like the big overall counting numbers, but I thought that he had his moment, 7.7 rebounds, 3 of 5 shooting. He's been probably our best guy off the bench. He earned the taco, so that tells you something about
him. He had some moments tonight, but no three-pointers attempted. He played
that's shocking.
Yeah, that's shocking, especially given the stat that Jay gave us last night about more than 50% of his shots coming to three. I thought he actually did the best job of attacking the rim and ended up with 7 rebounds. Kind of surprised to see him only with 5 shot attempts. That's not a very Mook-like performance, but I guess that's what happens when you're 9-for-40 against the Magic.
And one more from at Straight No Chaser. The Knicks game looks pretty good right now, right? Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't say pretty good. Looks better, I guess, by contrast.
The winning part was cool.
Yeah, that part was better than the losing part. All right, let's move on to the rain and junk. You want to handle the rain and junk hashtag?
Sure. This is from Taco Leone.
Everybody is just throwing taco in front of their names. Although it's I think perfect. He's had it. But go ahead, sorry.
I think he's had it for a while. But he's quoting us from last night, or at least me from last night. At least we're playing Orlando next. And he says, flashback to Jay and Jam predicting a sweep of the Bucks in the first round. That is true. Last year, after the first two games, me and Jay were like, this series is done. I think I pronounced the Bucks done three times in that series. So shows what my predictions are good for. Moving on to Robert Denton. I know the reality here. Three players are not going 100% yet. We got Kyrie for a few possessions at 100% in the first three quarters, and Hayward, well, I saw 80%, and it looks like progress. Raining junk. And then the guy making the shrugging emoji. That's more of a raining Jays, but like John, I have not pre-read any of these, so let's move on to Skroberg. Skroberg always comes with the heat. Robert Williams heads to scorer's table at the beginning of the fourth and checks in with 4 minutes left in the third. Time Lord stuff. That's some Time Lord stuff. Hashtag raining junk.
I think that's it.
Then from Tushar Patel at Tush Bagoosh, Baines looking dapper and ready to jump out of his seat for every trade tonight. I did not see what Aaron Baines is wearing, but I'm assuming he'll look good.
I think he had like a typical Aaron Baines t-shirt with a sport coat. I don't even remember what he was wearing, but I'm betting that's what it was.
I trust Tush. He knows. He's a big advocate of the war on semi. So I trust his takes. Let's get to my junk drawer. It's a little shorter tonight because when you're furious, it's harder to notice the inane things in the world.
It's hard to be funny when you're angry.
Well, we'll start off with the pregame where I was sitting behind the Celtics bench pregame as Yabu was warming up. And Danny was just screaming to Yabu, murder him, murder him. He was just talking about Celtics assistant coach Alex Barlow, who Yabu was practicing post moves on. And then Danny actually got up off the bench and went to Yabu and started teaching him moves in the post. Now, Danny Ainge playing was a bit before my time, but I did not think he was much of a post player. But who knows? It was just very interesting to see Danny Ainge, general manager of the team, teaching Yabu some footwork in the post. So I thought that was pretty cool. The first time I've seen it tonight, but apparently the bench will stand until the first points of the game. And it just so happens that it didn't happen for like the first 3 minutes. So I noticed it for the first time. Didn't know they did that. So that's just something to notice.
I missed that.
Yeah. And then they sat down on a made free throw, which doesn't feel like it counts, but they can't stand for that long. Speaking of the Time Lord, if you go to his basketball reference page and look at his official nicknames, Time Lord is on there, and then it's Boo Butt. And that's just a win for whoever did that on Celtics Twitter. normally I really crap on the people who try to do like the little games in between half court, and I say they should be banished from the gym if they fail. But some guy came out here and won a free trip to Aruba. He went 3 for 3. He made his layup, his free throw, and his 3-pointer in a matter of 5 seconds. It was
that's
probably
amazing.
the best fan work I've seen in a while.
Probably could have used him in the fourth quarter.
Definitely, he was much better. And then I don't have much else after that. It's just it was a frustrating game, and I'm going to use the rest of my junk drawer time to, I think, just shout out the Orlando Magic for being a scrappier team than I think I certainly gave them credit for. And Jonathan Isaac, I've also given him a lot of crap, but he was fantastic tonight. 8 of 12 from the field, knocked down 2 threes, 12 rebounds, and his length I think really disrupted the Celtics. Didn't really see anything from Mo Bamba, which is disappointing because he has the longest arms I've ever seen. But I was very impressed with Isaac, and Evan Fournier always seems to be a scrappily good player who is frustrating. And so kudos to the Magic for coming into TD Garden and taking one, a game that they absolutely deserved to win. But everyone was picking the Celtics, including me. That's how I'm going to finish my ranting junk, with just a solid compliment.
That's very nice. It's very gentlemanly of you. I'm not a big junk drawer. I just throw in like a couple of little additions. Mookie Betts at the game. Shout out to Mookie Betts at the game with a Bugs Bunny hat. That was pretty cool. That's basically all I have.
I like it.
Yeah. Marcus Morris fronting Vucevic in the post and stealing the entry pass is always fun to see. Marcus Smart fronting a big in the post and getting the steal. Always fun to see bigs trying to post up Marcus Smart or use their size against Marcus Smart and have it like not matter at all. I think that's it. Yeah, I'm done. I'm out of notes.
I'm done talking about this game. We're on to Oklahoma City. Let's never speak of it again, unless you're one of those masochists who want to watch film about this.
I totally forgot about it, but I got to throw this out there. Mike Gorman on the broadcast, they were talking about the Rondo fight. And Mike Gorman turns to Tommy and goes, "You ever throw a punch at a guy in the basketball court?" And Tommy says, "Did I ever throw a punch?" I'm like, "Yeah." "At a guy?" "Yeah." "Many times." Just flat out, it's like, "Oh yeah, many times." He talked about putting somebody in a pine box. Like, that's, go back and rewatch that game. And when they're talking about that, it's just classic Tommy Heinsohn, old school basketball. "You ever punch a guy?" "Oh yeah, many times."
"Yeah, I murdered him."
"Yeah. Yeah. Somebody did this to a teammate of mine. I put him in a pine box." Like, holy shit, Tommy. That's great. Good stuff.
Old time basketball.
That's good shit. When they were smoking. That's whatever. Anyway, that's it. That's the podcast. Thanks everybody for listening. If you're a new listener and you chose this one to start listening to us, wow, good for you. And you made it to the end. Huzzah! Huzzah! Subscribe then. And then give us a 5-star rating and a good review, because that really, really helps us out. We need those reviews. We need those ratings, because that helps us rise in the rankings. And also sharing, get us more new listeners. Help us out. Share the podcast. Tell your friends to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.